The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, February 4th, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a beautiful rainy day it is here in Sonoma County. Oh, we love the rain. Let me tell you something. Well, good morning, everybody. This morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about Black History Month here. February is Black History Month, and we are, according to the Chinese calendar, in the year of the boar or the pig. So happy new year to all my Chinese friends out there, Asian friends. I mean, this is a time to celebrate. I mean, the year of the pig or the boar. You know, you have to be careful this year not to overindulge. That's what one person told me. Well, I have four special guests with me this morning. Joining me in the studio is Rhonda Black, who is a community activist and is presently producing and directing both the Vagina Monologues and 1 Billion Rising in Petaluma on Valentine's Day, February 14th. Wonderful, wonderful program. Also joining her will be Stephanie Melnick, who is one of the performers in the play, and I'm thrilled that we're going to hear a very short piece to kind of whet your appetite. And hey, it's going to be a real love fest in Petaluma on February 14th. They're going to be doing the dance, 1 Billion Rising, and then in the evening, they have lots of workshops, and we'll be talking about that when we do the interview. Also joining me in the studio, and I believe both of these wonderful women have joined me for the Black History Month. This is their third year, their third time with me. Faith Ross is one of the founding members of the Petaluma Blacks for Community Development and distinguished member of the Sonoma County Human Rights Commission, and she will be talking about Black History Month and the exhibit at the Petaluma Historic Library and Museum in Petaluma. Also joining me will be Gloria Robinson, and Gloria Robinson is a longtime member of the community and one of the founders of the Petaluma Blacks, also for community development. And she was also the former secretary and co-founder of the NAACP here in our county. Well, what powerful women we're going to have in the audience, that's for sure. Listen, I have one announcement to make, and that's to remind you that this Wednesday at the Arlene Francis Center at 99 6th Street is going to be the Racial Discussion Group, which happens the first Wednesday of each month. It's going to be facilitated by Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence. And by the way, the Sonoma County Gazette is now on the street. And if you want to find out about Dr. Lawrence, I personally wrote a beautiful article about her. I really want to encourage folks to come down and come to this seminar. It happens this Wednesday, February 6th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Arlene Francis Center. And it is really so heartfelt. I mean, seeing people sitting in a circle, such a diverse group. We have Caucasians, we have African Americans, we have some Asian, we have women, we have men. I mean, it's just a wonderful, wonderful diverse group, and I am so excited that we're having this, and to be able to talk about some of our issues around race, and to be honest about it, and to try to work through some of the processes and some of the ideas that we have in our mind about each other. And the honesty is overwhelming to me. It really is. So come on down. I'll be there. Ken will be there. It's going to be at the Arlene Francis Center. That's this Wednesday, February 6th, from 6 to 8. And I look forward to seeing everybody there. Well, as you know, February is Black History Month, or National African American History Month. It's an annual celebration of achievements by Black Americans, and a time for recognizing the central role of African Americans in United States history. The event grew out of what is called the Negro History Week, a brainchild of noted historian Carter G. Woodson and other prominent African Americans. Since 1976, every United States president has officially designated the month of February as Black History Month. Other countries around the world, including Canada and the United Kingdom, and also devote a month to celebrating Black history. And I'm really excited because in Petaluma, right here in Sonoma County, we have a wonderful, wonderful museum. And Faith Ross has been active in the museum for years now, and she sets up the exhibits. And we're going to talk about that. It's going to be the Great Migration of African Americans here in the northern region of California. Lots going on. But, you know, one of the things I do for Black History Month is I try to bring to the forefront women, African-American women who have made a difference. I mean, we've got a lot of celebrities. I mean, if I mention Beyonce, you know Beyonce. If I mention Oprah Winfrey, you know Oprah Winfrey. If I mention a lot of different African-American women, you will know about them. But what I try to do is I try to pull women out of history that nobody knows about. And it's so amazing. You know, we have no idea of the contribution that African-American, particularly women, have made to our culture. So I found a very, very interesting woman and beautiful, to say the least. I'll show my audience, look at that beautiful woman, her picture. She's just gorgeous. Her name is Maria M. Daly, and she's best known for being the first African-American woman to receive a Ph.D. in chemistry in the United States. Can you imagine what a feat that was? I know for myself, in 1976, when I went back to school and I ended up getting a master's degree, I was amazed how few women at that time had master's degree. And this was in 1976 that I graduated. So here you are, this woman here in 19, let's see what she says. Let me read what I have here. Maria Daly was born on April 16th, 1921 in Queens, New York. She was raised in an educated-oriented family, and Daly quickly received her B.S. and M.S. in chemistry at Queens College and New York University. After completing her Ph.D. at Columbia and becoming the first African-American woman to obtain a Ph.D. in chemistry in the United States, Daly taught and conducted research. She died in New York City on October 28, 2003. What a legacy she left. What a legacy. And then I have found another woman. I mean, this was really interesting to me. Like, who knows these things? If you don't do research, you really don't know what's going on in the world. I found this other African-American woman who is just amazing. Her name is Phyllis Wheatley. She was born in 1753 and died in 1784. Now, just visualize this, 1753. I mean, that's not 2020, you know, it's not 2019. That's 1753. That's when it was really, I mean, African-Americans were really limited in what they could do. Well, she was born in Gambia about 1753, and she was a poet. And she actually was the first African-American woman ever to be published. She wrote poems on various subjects, is a landmark achievement in U.S. history in publishing. Wheatley became the first African-American, the first U.S. United States slave to publish a book of poems, as well as the third American woman to do so. Amazing. And she later on was freed. And also they had a cover from the book, which was amazing. I'm going to post it on a website, www.womenspaces.com. So let's do a shout out for these two amazing women. That's Phyllis Wheatley from 1753, who made her transition in 1784. And then we have Maria Daly, who is more modern in the 19th and 20th century. So congratulations to these women. And to just do a shout out for my African-American listeners, you know, you have a lot to be proud of. That's for sure. Well, we're going to take a musical break right now. And when I return, I will be talking with Rhonda Black and Stephanie Melick. And both of them are going to be performing in the Vagina Monologues in Petaluma. And I found a very, very interesting song, for the 1 Billion Rising, they usually have what is known as the Break the Chain. And I found very interestingly, I found a song called 1 Billion Rising from Montreal, Canada, Rising Up is a tribute to V-Day, 1 Billion Rising, and there's all kinds of names on here of who the performers are. So what I'm going to do is, all you have to do is go to www.womenssspaces.com, and you'll see all the credits from this wonderful song. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to listen to 1 Billion Rising from Montreal, Canada, and when we return, I will be talking with Rhonda Black and Stephanie Melnick, who are actually going to be performing in the monologue on Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2019. My God, can you believe it's 2019? Next year is going to be 100 years since women got the vote. Just amazing. 100 years went by pretty quickly, didn't you think? Anyway, let's go listen to 1 Billion Rising from Montreal, and then when we return, we'll have our two interesting guests.
She cries a tear, it's bringing her down. Whoa. She lives in fear, it's bringing her down. Whoa.
Yes, we're rising up in more ways than one. You know, it's really amazing. You know, I want folks to realize that, you know, last weekend, not this weekend that just passed, but the weekend before that, we had the Women's March. I can't believe that so much time passes. And I actually got the count. It was 4,500 people that showed up in Santa Rosa, downtown Santa Rosa, at the old courthouse square. And in Petaluma, we actually had 2,100 people that showed up. Amazing, amazing amount of women and men that were supporting there. And what was so amazing about it, talk about rising up, was seeing some of the kids that were there. I mean, to me, they were kids. I mean, young teenagers. I mean, talking about the future and talking about what they want to do. It was really amazing. Well, anyway, for you folks just joining us, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga in Santa Rosa, and I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. And we do have a lot of opinions here, that's for sure. Anyway, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my first guest. Joining me in the studio is Rhonda Black and Stephanie Melnick. Well, welcome, ladies. Welcome. welcome to Women's Spaces, and you're going to have to come a little closer to the mic. So what I'd like to do before we start, tell you a little bit about, tell my listening audience just a little bit about you. Rhonda Black is, I've known her for quite a while, and I'm really excited about this. She's been in the monologues quite a few times herself, but this year she's decided to tackle the big deal, and that's become the director and producer of it. She believes that mentoring and working towards ending violence against women and children is the best way to change our world for the better. She actually, last week we had a chance to talk to each other, and I found out that she's been mentoring a young boy for about 6 years now, and it's amazing the difference that has been made in this person's life. She has helped with marches, flash mobs, art shows, and organized 1 Billion Rising and the Vagina Monologues. Like I said, she's performed in it, and this year she's going to be is the producer and the director. And with me, with her is also is one of the performers for the Vagina Monologues, and that's Stephanie Melnick. Stephanie, why don't you tell you folks a little bit about you? I can't seem to find sure. Had your bio here. Oh, well, here we go. Let me just tell them a little bit about you. Stephanie Melnick recently moved up to Petaluma after living in San Francisco for a decade. She is a small business owner with her sister, and I comment, and I can't believe somebody could actually have a business with your sister. And if they do handcrafted granola balls called Awesome Bars. I like that one, Awesome Bars. She will be performing a couple of pieces in the monologue. And this is her first time on stage. And also, I have to tell my listeners, she's a nervous wreck the first time on the radio. But I tell her, just relax, you know. Let's just have a good time here. So welcome, ladies. So let's identify your voice. Say hello, Stephanie. Say hello to the audience.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, well, welcome. I'm so happy to have you. You know, you're a young, beautiful woman that's really going to perform in this wonderful, wonderful play, which, by the way, in the whole United States.
Oh, wow.
And I'll never forget when I made the call and I said, I'm going to talk about my vagina in front of all these people? No, I can't do it, but I did.
I'm Rhonda Black.
Rhonda, welcome. You know, last week, Rhonda got a little confused with the time and showed up. And I really felt that we needed to give her equal time here because she's doing such an important thing for our community.
Thank you. Thank you for having us back.
Oh, I just love it. I just love it. So let's start. You know, let's talk. You know, one of the things about Women's Space is it's a very personal show. So let's start with you first, Stephanie.
Sure.
Tell us, how did you get involved? I mean, I know this is something you've never done before.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, here you are. How did you get involved, and what was the motivation?
Well, my move up to Petaluma happened just this past September. So I've been seeking out a new community. And coming from San Francisco, I was delighted and a little bit surprised to find just how welcoming of a community Petaluma and Sonoma County is. And I met Rhonda, who is a very motivating, persistent sort of person. And she was like, hi, I'm doing the Vagina Monologues, and I was like, okay, well, what's that? And, unity and get you started on feminism.
Well, that's great. You know, what a great segue. Well, tell us what's that. Tell us what it is, Rhonda. What is the Vagina Monologues?
The Vagina Monologues is a performance that's been going on for almost 20 years all over the world, performed all over the world. I was trying to think of one of the places, but...
Everywhere, but that's okay.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm a little nervous, too. I've been doing this for a long time, but the radio and performing makes me nervous as well.
Well, you know, let's look at, let's just for the sake, you know, this is a good learning moment for our audience. You know, the nervousness is really excitement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and sometimes when you're excited, your mind goes blank. I know for myself, even on the radio, all of a sudden I'm talking to a guest, and all of a sudden it's like, where am I? You know, am I really here in the studio? So don't worry about that.
Thank you. Tell us,
so I know Eve Ansler was the one who wrote Vagina Monologues, and I actually interviewed Eve Ansler. I interviewed her in a car. She was on a car on her way to Travis Smiley's interview, and she gave me the interview. And it was a very exciting moment, and what her whole idea was is that she realized that women felt so oppressed, that this is the one thing we never talked about, was our sexuality and our feelings about those first times, that first kiss, that first love affair, and all those different things, and she created created the Vagina Monologue. Mm-hmm. So how did you get involved where all of a sudden you decided to perform, Rhonda, before you decided to direct?
I had seen the Vagina Monologues at the Masonic Lodge in San Francisco on California Street almost 20 years ago. And I was volunteering with Trisha Almond. She was a Girl Scout troop leader, and I was helping one of my girlfriend's moms. No, one of my girlfriend's daughter's troop, and I'd go there and I'd volunteer, and she told me she went to see it, and I'd gone to see it, and she said, you know, I'm going to do that someday. And a couple years later, she sent me an email saying, hey, I have this crazy dream. You want to do it? And I just said, I'm in, and I've been in ever since.
That's wonderful. Let's do a shout-out for Trisha. She does some wonderful things.
She's
actually on the commission
woman.
On the status of women and a dear, dear friend. So hi, tourists, if you're listening. So that's how you got involved. So what was it like the first time you performed?
I sweated on stage when I performed, and I think almost every time after that it was nerve-wracking, but it was also really empowering. And the support of the women in the cast changed my life. It gave me the confidence to do other things in my life that I never thought I'd ever even think of doing.
Well, I know the same thing happened to me. I was in the monologue, like I said. I think we were the fifth one in the United States that did it. And it was, I think it was the, maybe the second or third year, actually, that it was actually happened. And I read a part called The Flood. And
mm-hmm.
then also,
I love that one.
And that was about a woman's first experience. And I'll never forget when I read it, you know, I thought to myself, my goodness. You know, I'm not the only woman that has issues with these things, you know, that it's kind of a universal situation. Mm-hmm. Well, now, another thing that you're doing, you're combining this year, which is very interesting. I mean, you've really taken on a big project, honey. I think
yes.
This is really very brave of you. You're doing 1 Billion Rising, which is going to be the dance, and also there's going to be workshops. And then you're also doing the Vagina Monologue, not only in English, but also I believe you're the first ones for my Spanish listening audience here, you're the first ones that are actually doing it in Spanish.
At least in Sonoma County, maybe the North Bay, and I haven't gotten it confirmed, but it might be in Spanish for the first time in all of the Bay Area. So we're doing it in English. We have a completely separate Spanish cast, and the English version is being translated into American presentation that's going on. The workshops, you could choose your own adventure, the workshops or listen
like
to the
that.
Presentation.
I like that, choose your own adventure.
Yeah. Well, we have Rick Taylor from Men Evolving Nonviolently giving a small presentation, and then there's a couple monologues, there's a spoken word, and one of our participants is doing a rap, and then Molly McGregor is going to speak about her life, and I'm hoping that she's going to give the inspiring informational presentation that engages people and elicits reaction and action.
Well, I guarantee you she will. And I'd like to do a shout out for Molly McGregor.
Yeah.
Molly McGregor is actually here in Sonoma County, and she is the founder of the National Women's History Project. Mm-hmm. Actually, that we have Women's History Month here because of the fact mm-hmm. of Molly McGregor and the group that worked with her. So, hi, Molly, if you're listening, and she just does a wonderful job. And so now, so you're going to be doing the workshops, and then how is the dance going to happen?
That'll happen at the present after the presentation's over. The dance will happen there.
So you're going to be dancing in Petaluma. I've been looking around. I have. If anybody out there knows of any dances that are going on anywhere in the Bay Area, please email me at elaine@womenspaces.com because I'll be happy to announce it. I mean, this is a very important event that happens on February 14th, my favorite holiday. I mean, Valentine's Day. I mean, sometimes I get a little bit overboard, but you have to remember it's the day that we give love and mm-hmm. feeling to one another. Well, let's have a little fun here. You know, let's really make Stephanie nervous. Now, Stephanie, you have some of the script with you?
I do.
Why don't you? We're going to read a little piece. So let me just announce this. Now, this here, we're just a small snippet. You know, oh, by the way, speaking of snippets, the Sonoma County Gazette is on is on the counters right now, is on the community, and I really encourage you to pick up a copy. You know, I do these Santa Rosa snippets, which is very, very interesting to me, and I have a wonderful, wonderful article in there this month about Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence, who also does the Unshackled workshops, and it's very, very interesting, so look for those on the street. So let's go, Stephanie. Why don't we try a little bit? What are you going to read? Give it a little bit of background on
sure,
it.
Sure, sure. So as you mentioned, the monologues sort of take on the voice of different vaginas. for me doing the monologues, I'm not only finding my personal voice, but I'm really delighted to find that my vagina has a voice and that I can say vagina to everyone on the radio, in the audience at the play. So I've been given the piece, excuse me, My Angry Vagina. So I'm speaking, you know, sort of from the tone of just a pissed off, you know, pissed off lady bits, just tired of being treated in a not so nice way.
Okay, go ahead. Let's have it. Stephanie.
All right. My vagina's angry. It is. It is pissed off. My vagina is furious and it needs to talk. It needs to talk to you. Stop shoving things up me. Stop shoving and stop cleaning it up. My vagina doesn't need to be cleaned up. It smells good already. Don't try to decorate. And don't believe him when he tells you it smells like rose petals, when you know it's supposed to smell like pussy.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we'll just end on that one. That's really great, Stephanie.
Oh, thanks,
Elaine.
Thank you for having
me. Well, that gives you, you know, one of the things that I noticed as you were speaking is I had a huge smile on my face. And we all need a little joy in our lives. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be uplifted, you want to laugh, you want to have a good time, come on down. Yep. Now, let's go into the whole idea of where it's going to be, the times and everything. So why don't we start with you, Rhonda? Let us know where it's going to be, how people can get in touch with you, and all the good news.
Sure. So it is at Mentor Me in Petaluma, 426 G Street, between, no, 8 and G, 8th and G. It's also called the Kavanaugh Building, and it starts at 4:30. The workshops and the presentation start at 4:30 to 7, and then after that, the vagina which the 1 Billion Rising is a free event, and you can drop in or drop out at any time. And then the Vagina Monologues is a ticketed event, which there's for two separate brown paper tickets, which you can find on Facebook, the links to that.
And also, I'll have all this information on Women's Spaces.
Lovely.
It'll all be listed. So go ahead and continue.
Thank you. We do have one real beautiful workshop that I wanted to tell you about called Traveling Postcards. And it's more like an art healing workshop where you go in, and it's a 90-minute workshop. You go in and you create a beautiful, inspiring postcard that is later given to a woman leaving the shelter along with a bag filled with toiletries.
Which reminds me that the Vagina Monologues was so interesting. When Eve Ansler set it up, she made sure that we sponsor one nonprofit that works with women in the community. Mm-hmm. And this year, that you're going to be supporting our Rape Crisis Center, Verity.
Definitely.
And I want to do a shout-out for my dear friend Chris Castillo. Chris, it's wonderful. I mean, all the support we can give them.
She'll
is just
be
amazing.
There.
Oh, wonderful.
She's actually going to do part of our spotlight. Are you familiar with the spotlight in the Vagina Monologues? Usually, V-Day, every year they pick a spotlight in the world to shine the light on so that people become more aware and maybe take action to help make change. And this year, and then Eve Ensler writes a monologue called their spotlight monologue, and it's performed along with the Vagina Monologues. This year, she actually had the producers or the directors go out and find somebody in the community to write a piece that somebody who's in, I guess, somebody who's that spotlight. And the spotlight is women incarcerated or in detention. So we went out and found two women who have previously been in those situations and asked them to write a story. And one of them we set up with an editor, and we have two really beautiful stories. One of them will be performed by the writer, and the other one will be performed by one of our other Spanish cast. And because it's being translated into Spanish.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
I would love to have those spotlights and do the spotlight on the air. That would be beautiful. So we'll be
maybe afterwards.
Yes,
but yeah,
definitely.
It's
definitely
super powerful.
So give us the address again.
426 B Street. That doesn't sound right, though, to me.
It's on the corner of 8th and G.
8th and G. I'm sorry, 426 G Street.
You see, we have Petaluma in the audience here.
Born and raised Petaluma. You would think I would know.
Anyway, I want to thank both of you for being here. Any last words, Stephanie? Anything you'd like to say? How was your radio experience? Let our audience know. Was it as hard as you thought it was?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's been delightful, and I think really the only parting word that I would like to say on the radio is vagina.
To go with that too, vagina.
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, remember that old saying, you know, you've come a long way, baby. It was about some cigarette use, but this is a lot stronger. You've come a long way. Mm-hmm. Well, Stephanie Melick, thank you so much. I want to wish you much luck. You know, like they say in the theater, break a leg, don't really break a leg, but that's just how they say it, and I wish you all the luck, and I admire your courage, you know, and you know, you're an example for young women. You're a young woman, and you're taking a risk. You're putting yourself out there, and that's the most important thing that we can do. And that's what we have to do. That's what the whole women's movement is about, that we stand up as women. We join as women. You know, I wrote this poem, I am women, I am all women. I go beyond color, I go beyond race, I go beyond religion. I am a woman, I'm a birther, I bring forth the children, you know, whatever. We need to come together. And Rhonda, any last words, my friend? And I
besides
want to thank
vagina,
you.
Besides
vagina. We're having a good time, folks.
Please come down. The cast have put a lot of effort and love, and actually all the organizers, into creating a lovely event.
Well, thank you. And thank you for taking the courage to doing it. And it takes a lot of courage. I mean, I know I produce a weekly show here. I know what it takes, and I can't imagine what it's going to take to put that on English and Spanish, plus all the other activities.
And American Sign Language. Oh. I mean, it just keeps getting bigger.
Well, you're an ambitious woman, my dear. And I want to thank you. I enjoy your friendship. I enjoy knowing you. And break a leg.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, folks, I'll tell you, there's, you know, when you really start thinking about it, I'm glad I live in 2019, for God's sakes. Look at how women we're on the rise. We're moving. We have a voice. We're speaking out. And that's the most important thing that we can do. Well, we're going to take a musical break. And when we return, I will be talking with Faith Ross and Gloria Robinson. And excuse me, I made a little bit of a mistake here. I sometimes go into the past and I don't change my notes, but I made a mistake and I want to correct it. And Gloria will correct some of her involvements, but she was not the co-founder of NAACP. So I just want to apologize for that. And the song that we're going to play is a song called Ella Song. And I love that song because it's all about Ella Baker, you know, and Ella Baker really, I mean, when you think the first time I ever actually heard about Ella Baker was one time I was listening to the radio. I found out they had an Ella Baker Center, and where they hire children, they have young people, where they do environmental things, all kinds of wonderful things. And one of the things that Ella Baker said that I think is very important, you know, like I said, this is Black History Month, and we need to pay attention to some of the things that our African American women have brought forth for us. You know, it's like, to me, sometimes I feel it's some of the best kept secrets in the world. Well, here's what Ella Baker had to say, which I think is very timely. The major job was getting people to understand that they had something within their power that they could use. And it could only be used if they understood what was happening and how group action could counter violence. And that was by Ella Baker. And what she was doing was trying to encourage the people during the civil rights movement to keep moving, to keep going, to keep their eye on the prize and not be afraid. So let's go ahead and listen to Ella Baker, sung by Anna Frith. And when we come back, oh, by the way, this song was originally done by Sweet Honey and The Rock. But, you know, one of the things I try to do is, you know, bring forward women that you may not hear about. And here we go with Ella's song, and let's go.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest. important as the killing of white men. White mothers, sons, we who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. Well, that which touches me most is that I've had a chance to work with people, passing on to others that which was passed on to me. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. Not needing to clutch for power, not needing the light just to shine on me. I need to be one in a number as we stand against tyranny. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. Struggling myself don't mean a whole lot. I've come to realize teaching others to stand up and fight is the only way my struggles survive. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it. Well, I'm a woman who speaks in a voice, and I must be heard. At times I can be quite difficult. I will bow to no man's word. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes.
You know, I never really understood we who believe in freedom cannot rest. You know, I never really kind of got that line until the last time I listened to it. I think I listened to it 2 or 3 days ago while I was scripting the show. And I realized how tender freedom is and how easily it's lost. I mean, look what's going on in the world today. We have 9 wars going on. Some wars are fighting for freedom. Other wars, people are fighting to take away their freedom. I mean, we cannot rest. It has to be an ongoing thing and ongoing work. Well, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my 2 guests with me, Faith Ross and Gloria Robinson. Welcome, ladies. Welcome once again. This is your 3rd time here on Women's Spaces. Well, welcome. Hi, Gloria. Let's identify your voices.
Hello. I'm happy to be here again, Elaine.
And you look absolutely stunning. I love seeing you. This is our once-a-year get-together.
Right.
And Faith?
Hi, Elaine. Thank you for having us on again this year.
Well, I just can't believe, you know, it seems like 1 second ago you were sitting in the studio talking about last year's exhibition, and
that's
I went
right.
and saw it. It was fabulous. And here we are again this year's exhibition, and you both are very much involved in the community and in Petaluma doing the exhibition at the museum.
Museum, right, yes.
Well, let me talk a little bit about both of you, if you don't mind. Let me tell a little bit about Gloria. And Gloria, fill me in if I'm wrong, you know. I mean, I made the mistake. I'm really sorry about that. Gloria is a longtime member of the community and one of the founders of the Petaluma Blacks for Community Development in Petaluma. She was born in Miami, Florida's segregated youth. Gloria learned at an early age that justice, the injustice of segregation. By the age of 26, she was married with 4 children. Her husband's employment brought the family to San Francisco, then Marin County, and finally settling, thank goodness, in Petaluma. It was Petaluma that she became active in the community. She was one of the first appointed members to the Sonoma County Commission on the Status of Women. As you know, it's been a little bit defunded of late. It's kind of a thorn in my side, where she coordinated the Women of Color Task Force and developed the Women of Color section of the 1980 Commission on the Status of Women report. Now, anything else you'd like to add, Gloria?
No, I think you did a pretty good job of introducing me. I can share that. I've been a resident of Petaluma since 1971. That's the year I came to Petaluma, and it's been a blessing and a pleasure to be a part of the community because everyone is so accepting of our group, Petaluma Blacks for Community Development. When we are in the parade, all you can do, the Butter and Egg Day parade, all you can do is hear people shouting and hollering at us and clapping and hooraying us. And when we have our programs, we have a great turnout with the community. So I'm proud to be living in Petaluma.
Well, another thing too, Gloria, and I think you'll agree with me, is that familiarity brings friendships.
True.
You know, you get to know each other. Uh-huh. You go beyond some of the ideas that you have in your mind. I mean, it's amazing. I know I've lived across the street from my dear friend Nancy Rogers, and we talk about it all the time. I mean, we just how we developed a friendship and how some of the challenges we had because some of the ideas that we've had about each other until we knew each other.
Right.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about Faith. Faith is one of my favorite people. We met when we were on the Human Rights Commission together, and I have to say, she was one of the kindest, sweetest people to me on that board when I was there. So let me tell a little bit about Faith. Faith, where are you? Where's your bio? Well, I don't have your bio here, Faith. So Faith,
well,
tell us a little bit about
you. Well, that's probably a good thing.
Oh, here we go. Along with her work with Human Rights Commission, Faith Ross is currently involved in her community of Petaluma through Petaluma Blacks for Community Development. And she also is worked with the Petaluma Historical Library and Museum and the Petaluma Christian Church. A native of California, but raised in Louisiana, Ross graduated from Southern University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, with a degree in business administration. She retired from the Auditor Assessor's Office of the County of Sonoma after working in public service for how long? 10 years? 20 years?
Yeah, about 10 years I worked for Sonoma County.
And she continues to be involved in the community. Faith, talk a little bit about the Petaluma Blacks. What is it, and what is it exactly that they do?
Well, Gloria probably would be the best person to talk about our group because she really is the founder of the group. She's the person who initially would get in touch with people as she met them or talked to them about her dream of having a black organization in Petaluma, and that's how I met her. And when she told me what her dream was, I said, oh, okay, let's work on that.
Let's dream together.
Let's dream together. And so, you know, we both had met quite a few black families in Petaluma, and so we decided to, actually, she was the person who got the first meeting together because she knew a lot of the people in Santa Rosa and around the community. So she's really the person to talk about that.
What was that like, Gloria, the first meeting? I mean, I can only imagine. I mean, I know for myself, when I came back to school in Sonoma, at Sonoma State, I was the oldest student in the class.
Mm.
So that in itself, you know, kind of separate, mm-hmm. it put me apart, and I had to do certain things in order to belong. How was that for you? Here you are, an African-American woman. Now you're going to do a Petaluma Blacks Community Development. How was that, the first meeting, and how did that feel for you?
The first meeting was very good. We started out with the BSU at Casa Grande. My daughter had given me a list of families that was involved, you know, that went to school at Casa Grande. So that's how I got in touch with some of the people. And then we had the NAACP there. We had Eddie Mae Sloan, who was the executive director of SCPEO here in Sonoma County. And we had the mayor there at the time, which was Helen Putnam, and the Afro-American Elks group from Santa Rosa came to our first initial meeting, and then all of the different families with their children came.
What was your goal? What was the idea behind forming the group?
My goal was to share our culture in the community. You know, our kids were in the schools there. Nothing was happening around Black History Month, and we just thought we would share it in the school. And our first program was at one of the elementary schools there in town, Bernard Eldridge School, where my kids were going to that school.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to ask you this one question, and I ask all the women that are on the show. You were doing something different. Where did you get the confidence? I mean, where did you get that oomph to start this?
Well, believe it or not, a young Jewish guy in the community, Joe Rappaport, was the one that started me out with the NAACP. And his words to me when I told him about it too was, if not you, then who?
Oh my goodness.
So that pushed me to, yeah, that's something to think about. If not me, who else gonna do it? So that's where I got the oomph from.
I think that's a good, you know, when you start thinking about if, you know, it's like you have to be the dream we're waiting for. I mean, uh-huh. if you don't put it out there, it's not gonna happen. You know, uh-huh. you can yak, but if uh-huh. it doesn't happen, In fact, it's really interesting. While we're here, I'm noticing we have a new radio show that comes on once a month about Palestine. It's going to be on this evening. Mm. And I'm just thinking the same thing about these people. If someone doesn't do it, who's going to do it? You've got to do it. So thank you for sharing that. So talk a little bit about how it's evolved, and how did you get involved in the museum? I mean, I think you've done the Women's History Month, and you've done so many displays there. How did you get involved, Faith, in the museum, and what is your goal there?
Well, for years, we had small exhibits at the museum for years. And then Gloria had been on the board of the museum, Petaluma Museum Association, and when she decided that she was going to get off, she asked me if I would get on the board, and I said, well, okay.
And if not you.
If not me, then who? And so I said, okay. And then I became president of the Petaluma Museum Association and really got involved in doing the exhibit. We've done an exhibit downstairs. Our exhibits used to be upstairs in a little small corner, and I just felt like, number one, it wasn't a place where everybody could get to. Mm-hmm. And so we felt like they needed to be downstairs so that everybody could see the exhibits. And we've really had a good response from the community
on those
exhibits. We put a lot of energy into them and a lot of research in trying to bring those to the community. This year, ours is about the Great Black Migration, 1910 to 1970, and we hope to tell why that happened, the people moving from the South, and have some actual family history there. In fact, both of the ladies who are going to do lectures at the museum this year will have their story, their family stories up there.
Well, before you go into that, I just want to ask you a question. What was the motivation for the migration? I mean, I know a lot of it had to do with World War II. You know, a lot of moving from the South into California and to there. But what was the migration here?
In two different parts, if you wanted to take a real look at it. 1910 to around 1940. Remember that World War I took place at that time. There was a space for labor because they weren't coming from the European countries. And so, excuse me, the African Americans in the South were, you know, the crops were going bad. The boll weevil was there. The threat of lynching and the way they were. And then the next thing was the World War II took place. And so that pulled people more to the West versus some of the other places that they had been going, like New York and Chicago. So they would be coming West a lot more because of the shipyards and stuff in this area. And so, in fact, my family migrated to California during the 40s, during the war, World War II, to work in the shipyard. My dad worked in the shipyard for a while.
Well, that is amazing. I mean, what was it like for these people coming here? I mean, you come from the South where you had this horrible segregation. I mean, these Jim Crow laws going, and then all of a sudden migrating here. How was the adjustment? How did people adjust? What did they do?
Well, some adjusted, some did not. And our exhibit will be looking at that, because for a lot of people, this was a chance to be able to speak and to become almost human. Because in the South, the black people were not given the rights that the other nationalities or the white people had. And so they were going to what they considered the promised land, not really knowing what would actually happen. And so one family member might move or one family might move, and they would write back to the other families and say, this is a place so you can live with us. I know that, for instance, when my family moved here, some of my uncles came, they got jobs, they got a house to live in, and they would bring the other family over to live in the house with them until they could find a job and get on their feet and get into their home or whatever. And so that would be it. But the motivation was to leave the South because of the lynchings, because of the Jim Crow laws and stuff that were there, and the fact that they were treated as second-class citizens, if considered citizens at all.
You know, it's interesting, you know, because like we're doing these workshops with Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence over at the Arlene Francis mm-hmm. Center, and it somehow when some of this stuff comes up when you talk about it, there's such a disbelief. It's like watching the Holocaust, you know, in Germany. Mm-hmm. You say, did this really happen? Did people really? When you start thinking about it, there's such a sadness that comes over you that you have to question, what is it in human beings that create this kind of havoc for each other? But at the same time, thank goodness there's places you can migrate to, and you have people like Gloria who are willing to stand up and say, look, we've got to have more community here. You've got to get to know us. We've got, we're here. We're going to know each other. We're going to work together. I mean, to me, I have to say that. I mean, as a Caucasian and as a Jewish person, you know, being brought up in a Jewish religion, I know what it's like, you know, and all of a sudden someone finds out you're Jewish. You know, the first thing you hear is, some of my best friends. I said, well, what does that mean?
Some
of your best friends, you know. I don't want to know about your best friends. I just want to know about you and me. So go ahead, continue.
But you also have to remember that with a lot of, and I'm going to say Negro because that's what we were called. The Negro families and people that moved to the North, they were treated also when they came to the North with some ideas that they didn't realize that they were going to have either. And so then the Civil Rights Movement started in 1940s or 50s, really, through the 60s. And so what they found when they came North was that they faced some of the same issues, especially in housing and in jobs, that they had actually faced in the South. It was different in the new areas that they were living in because they felt like they could speak up. And so we had the Harlem Renaissance happen during this period of time when, you know, all of that happened. And so we got our voice, I should say. We got our voice in the North.
Well, the voice is definitely going to be heard in Petaluma. So tell us the dates and the times and some of the things that are going. We're coming to the end very quickly this segment. I can't believe how fast time goes.
Okay, so this Saturday, February 9th, is our children's story time. And we will have two stories told about black families who migrated. On Sunday, February 10th, Sharon McGriff Payne will be talking about her book, John Grader's Century, African Americans in Solano, Napa, and Sonoma Counties, 1845 to 1925.
I'm going to cut you off now and tell you that what we'll do is we'll list everything on Women's Spaces.
Okay.
And also, I will also make announcements next week on next week's show. We'll do the list. So give the address where it's going to be and the times.
Okay, so the children's stories are going to be at the Petaluma Historical Library and Museum, starting from 10 till noon, and that is located at 24th Street, downtown Petaluma. It's this beautiful old building right on the corner. And then on Sunday, the 10th, is Sharon McGriff Payne talking about her book.
Well,
1 o'clock.
I'm sorry that I have to cut everybody up, but time goes by so quickly when you're having fun. I want to thank Gloria Robinson and Faith Ross for coming in and talking about the Black History Month and what's going to be happening in Petaluma. And I remind everybody that all that will be on Women's Spaces at www.womensspaces.com. Also, a special thank you to Rhonda Black and to Stephanie Melick. And remember, the Vagina Monologues will be happening on February 14th, and all that will be listed on www.womensspaces.com. Thank you for listening.
Because a woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, February 4th, 2019.